Okay, I want to go back and look at the assignment on key constraints and indexes. There were a lot of people that had trouble with the design of the tables, and I just want to go over those. When it comes up. What did I just do? Yeah. Okay. So, I've got the absolute wrong light set. Okay, a lot of people were getting off on the design of these tables. And the other thing is that I wasn't seeing the information that I needed to see. So I'm saying it, we've got a very few people here, but I'm also saying it for the recorder. Essentially, I wanted you to show me what you were doing. So I wanted you to create the primary keys, okay? I wanted you to develop the foreign keys. I wanted to see those things happening. I didn't just want a list of, made a bunch of constraints, and here's the list of them. Because I don't know that you did it right in that case. So I need to see the actual making of them. And then I wanted you to do other constraints, such as the check and the unique and that sort of thing. And I didn't see that on some of them. Okay, so essentially this one needs to be revisited. And I also wanted to make sure you developed a couple of indexes. Okay, so we started out and this was the data that I gave you. And so the first thing is to figure out what tables I need. And so the first one obviously is I need a customer table, okay? And that is going to have all of this information is going to go on the customer table, okay? And the customer ID number is going to be the primary key. Okay, so that's the first table. Then the second table is, for each house code, you need to carry the average summer, fall, winter, spring use. So you're going to have a second one, which is the house table. And that is going to have the house code on it, which is also over here. And these two, this is going to be the primary key. And you're also going to have a foreign key linked from that to that. So that's going to be the foreign key. Okay, so you're going to have a foreign key of the house type code linking into the house table. Then on this table, you're also going to have summer, fall, winter, spring, and the average use on that so that the delivery company can kind of guess from your house type code what your average is going to be. Okay, so you needed to have those. And then you need to have the delivery table. Okay, and this is the deliveries to people. And customer ID is on this because you got to know what customer you delivered it to. But a lot of people made that the primary key. And if that's the primary key, then you only get to give one delivery to every customer. You'll never be able to deliver to them again if that's the primary key. Because memory keys have to be unique. So with oil, delivery date makes sense to be the other part of the primary key. And so this I wanted to see. I wanted to see you make the primary key and list those two fields as the primary key when you were making it. Okay? Some things, date itself isn't enough, but with this, oil companies are not going to deliver twice on the same day to the same person, because you fill up the tank, you're not going to do it again. So that's a perfectly good thing on this. And then you want to put in the number of gallons that you delivered and the price per gallon, because that can tend to hit periods when it fluctuates tremendously, depending on what's going on in the rest of the world. So the price per gallon is how much it was being charged the day that it was delivered. Okay. So those are the tables that you needed to set up for the first one. Okay, and as again, I wanted to see you set up the primary keys. I wanted you to see you set up the foreign keys. And you have a foreign key of the customer ID going over to the customer too. So you have another foreign key here with this customer ID going over to there and linking into that, yes.
Is it okay that I add just the customer table and the delivery table? Because I put the house code on the customer table and linked it to delivery.
No, and did I miss that?
I think so.
Okay, I may have missed it. No. Not really, because I wanted the house code. The house code is to figure the size of the house. And so the house code could have been large, medium, and small, but I suggested, you know, a six-room cave, or six-room, or eight-room, or something like that. And then I wanted to know the average summer for the average eight-room house.
Okay.
Now, a real oil company would have a lot of other things than that. One of the things they probably have is age, because as you get older, your heat goes up, and our, you know, number of kids, because with young kids, the heat tends to go up, and so they may have things like that, they may have previous histories that they'll keep, but I just threw in that one thing, so yeah, you should have done it this way. No, if you got away with it, you got away with it.
Okay.
Because as I recall, yours was okay. If you have to send it back and it involves something like that, then yeah, maybe you should fix it. But if you don't have to send it back,
yeah, I think I get it now.
Okay, I get it. So that the reason for doing that was now I know six room house maybe.
Yeah,
we'll use that much heat. That much on different seasons, and that helps me determine when I should deliver to you next. And as I said, in the real world, that would be a lot more complicated algorithm than that. Okay, so that's that one. Now the next one is, let's see, view, that's the way I think I wanted. Okay, the next one is this one. And this has got a one-to-many relation, I mean a many-to-many relationship, a many-to-many. What I've got is I've got the employee, and so I'm gonna have an employee table. And basically, again, all of this is going to go on the employee table, okay? Because it's all about the employee. And the primary key over there is about the employee. And as we've talked about, some employees, I didn't even put address, I just put a few things on here. There might be another table that has information about their address and all the rest of it. but we're assuming we just have one employee table. Then I have a project table. Okay, and these are projects, and they may just be projects that the company's working on, but if these are a company that has outside customers, it may be this is the project that I'm doing for this customer, this is the project I'm doing for that customer, and so the project is related to a specific company, customer, and you have to keep track of the hours on that project because that's what you're billing for based on. Okay, so the project the person is working on, and you need to have about the project, you need to have something that will be the primary key, like the project ID. Okay, so the project ID is going to be the primary key. Then you're going to have, if you have a project name, okay, then I'm going to have the manager of who is managing that project. Okay, and I could have a lot of other information, but I think that's all that I said. Name of the project, manager of the project. Okay, so that's all I said about the project. One of the other things that you might have on it is the total number of hours that are available to work on this project. You know, if you have put out an estimate and had sent out and it got accepted, you might have total hours working on the project, but I didn't put that on there. Then what you've got is you've got the employee ID and the project ID. I can't carry the times that the employee worked on the project on the employee table because that breaks the third normal form rule of no repeating groups. So if every time the employee works on the project, I need to keep track of that information, I can't do it on the employee table because it's repeating groups. And the problem with repeating groups is how many do you set up? I set it up so the employee can work 10 and then I need the employee to work an 11th time and I can't do it. I can't put it on the project table because again, if I put it on the project table, it's repeating groups. I don't know how many people are going to work on this and how many times they're going to work on it. So this is what is called a many-to-many relationship. Okay, it's a many-to-many relationship. And the way I usually handle, or people usually handle this, is they set up what is called a bridge table. Okay, which might be the work on the project or whatever you want to call it, but it's a bridge table and it bridges between the two. Okay, so on this bridge table, I'm going to have the employee ID number and the project number. And that's what makes it a project ID. That's what makes it a bridge table. Because this links over to here and this links over to here. Okay, so I'm going to have the employee number and the project ID. And so I can link and find out about the employee, I can link and find out about the project. Now I also need something else, because if I just have the employee ID and the project ID, then the employee can only work on the project once. Okay? So I need something else. So what I would put in here is the date. Okay, what date they worked on the project. And if you need date and time, then you can put in date and time, but date is probably sufficient. Because usually you fill out timesheets at the end of the day and you put how many hours you put on each project on the timesheet. Which leads me to the other thing that you need is the hours that you spent on that date. And these three things together make the primary key. Okay, so the primary key is the employee number, the project number or project ID, and the date the employee worked on the project. because if you don't have date as part of the primary key, the employee can only work on the project once. Because if I put in the employee number and the project ID, I can't put it in again, that combination in again. So the employee can only work on the project once. But if I include date as part of the primary key, then the employee can work on the project as many times as they want to. Okay. So, questions? And what I wanted to see is you create that primary key. Okay, so I wanted you to go in and do the code to create the primary key that has those three parts in it. Okay, because when you create a primary key, you can have just one field, or you can have one, two, three fields in this case. Okay, so that's what I was looking for. Questions? Does that make more sense? Okay. This week I did not give you a homework assignment because we're not at a place where I've got enough to give you a homework assignment because we're just starting new stuff. And so you have time to fix this up instead. Okay? Because as I said, I think I gave grades on this to very few people. I sent it back to almost everyone. Okay, so if you have any questions, now's the time to ask. Yeah.
How do you view an index?
Pardon me?
How do you view an index or select an index?
You just, how do you view or create or?
You
go in and create, I'm not sure what you're asking.
Well, I don't really know what,
what you would do on this is I would definitely create an index on employee name.
Yeah.
Because if I want to find out about a particular employee, I may not know their employee ID. So I would have an index on employee name. And I would have an index on project name as well. Because it's, you know, lots of times people know the name of the project, but they don't know the number associated with it. And they want to be able to get in and get that particular project. So I would have an index on those two. Indexes are developed for efficiency more than anything else. So if I index something, that means that behind the scenes, Oracle sets up a way of getting to that much faster than as if I have to go sequentially through every record looking for the project name. It organizes them probably alphabetically. And then they have an algorithm that goes in and can go to the name quickly. And so the reason for making an index is for efficiency.
So it's just there, kind of, you don't use it ever, it's just...
It's there, and then when you do a search, when they do a query, if you do a query on the employee name, it will kick in because there's an index on that.
It's just better.
And it will quick in and get it faster, yes.
Okay.
Because it's basically set up the algorithm behind the scenes where it's organized behind the scenes, probably, and as I said, databases keep this a secret as to how they organize it, but anyway, it may be organized alphabetically. And if you're alphabetical, then you can do a search such that you look at the middle one, you look at the middle and say, is it greater than or less than? Well, you've eliminated half of them already. If it was in the top half, you do a search for the middle of the top half and you eliminate another quarter. So you can go in and go to it much faster. And they set up the algorithm behind the scenes. That's just a simple algorithm that I just gave you. They may have a far more complex one. But that means that you will get the project name or get the employee name a lot faster. Okay, so that's what indexes are for. Yeah?
Do we have to show you that it's there? Like, is there a way to do that?
I just want to see you create it. If you just create it, then I know that it got created because it comes back with positive reinforcement and says,
okay.
it was created. Okay? Questions? So what I wanted to do more than anything else was see you do the creation and do the stuff that made this. Okay. So that was that assignment, which I finally got back to you. It's a pain to correct, and I was actually waiting for more people to get it in. Okay, so the next thing I want to look at is procedures. And I would like you to bring up Oracle so that we can experiment with it a little bit. So go ahead and bring it up. And one of my recorders just decided it needed a new battery. Oh, I just messed that up. Actually, I should have, I think, brought it up in PuTTY. Because I think I actually did this in PuTTY. So there it is in PuTTY. Okay. So if you come to here, what we're doing is we're creating a block, and the block is going to be a procedure. Okay, so I started out and I created a table called New Donation. And I think I have that, so I'm going to say select asterisks from new donation. And I have it. Now I've added some things to it, so it's not quite the same. And I apparently added something that doesn't have a contribution date, so it's not quite the same as what I have there, but I've got a copy of it. Okay, so. Do you have a donation table?
I don't.
No? Okay. So if you want the donation table, you can go in at this point and create a donation table, or you can try working with something else, but I think I did a lot with donations, so you might try creating a donation table if you want to use it. And I'm inserting something into it, so I think that would be enough. So if you want to create a new donation table, and I'll do a DESC of it so that you can see what it is. Okay, so that's the layout that you want to do. So go ahead and just take a minute and create the new donation table with these fields on it. Yeah.
Are we going to change anything to it? Like if I already have one, should I make a copy of it?
I'd make a copy, yeah, because I'm doing inserts and everything. So if you have a, if you have the donation table, do what I did, which is make a new one and call it new donation. Or if you have a new donation, call it new donation two or something like that. Okay. So make the donation table and we're going to insert into it. So you don't have to put any data in because that's going to be part of the program.
Where's that table? Is that the table?
Right there.
Do you have it back on your homepage?
Do
I? Is that a script?
I don't think I ever did a script for the donation. Cause
yeah, you did. Yeah.
I did?
Yeah, there
okay.
is.
Okay. All right,
it's,
so pull apart. Part
of the weeks, I'm not sure. But yeah, she did.
Okay. All yeah. right. Thank you. I don't remember. I mean, this is all we're doing here is create table. Donation as, and you
it's
list up the things. You're not putting any data in it, so it's just a create thing. So, it's not terribly burdensome to do, is what I'm trying to say. No, because actually the procedure that we're going to look at is puts data into it. Okay, so we just have to create the table. And if you've got a donation table, then the create is simply create as a copy of the donation table. But if you don't have it, then you can create the table.
Week 5.
Mm-hmm. It's on week 5?
Yeah, it's week 5.
So again, I created it as select asterisk donation, but if you don't have that, then you've got to put in the structure of the table. And I didn't put a primary key on it, so it's just sitting there. And if you only want data, you can go in and do a delete to get rid of the data. If you already have data. But it doesn't do any harm for what we're doing if I just add data to whatever it is. Okay, has everybody got a copy of the table? Week 7? Okay. Has everybody made a copy of it, or where do we stand on that? Yes, no, maybe? Okay. All right. So now we're going down and we're looking at a procedure. So here is the procedure. And I'm starting out and saying create or replace procedure add donation. Now, when you write a procedure, you don't put in the declare. The as over here apparently serves to tell it that it serves as a substitute for the declare. And you can see I wrote that up above. The code below creates a procedure with the name add donation. Notice there's no declare in this block. The is or as serves the purpose. Okay? The procedure sets up variables that will receive data when the procedure is called. So I've got these set up to receive, and they are of the type here. So I'm now going to insert into new donation, the ID, drive number, and all that on the values here. So this is a procedure that is going to be called by another program that is going to send the data over. Okay, so I am setting up a procedure, and this procedure is going to be called by the primary code. Okay, it's going to be called with the primary code. So I said, if you take this and make a copy of it, okay, and then come over in here, and I've already got it, I believe, so I'm not going to do that. But if I say edit, add donation, okay, there's the code. Now, if you say it, you should not have gotten any code unless you've already done it. So at that point, you're going to take this code and copy it in there. Okay, which is the right click does the copy. So I'm going to copy it in there. So I've made a copy of that procedure. And again, all it is doing is setting up some variables, and it is going to receive data into those variables, and then it's going to use the data to do an insert. Okay, so I've got this all set. And then I'm going to do a control O, which writes it out. And did I do that? Okay. Why aren't we getting anything acting here? I guess I can just do X because I didn't do anything. You'd have to do a control O. So now I've got that. Now, the point that I make up here is after I've written the code, I need the @addDonation, which comes back with the message that the procedure is created. If I don't do that, the procedure doesn't really get created, so I can't use it. So I need to do that. I need to do the @Donation. And when I do that, it comes back and tells me the procedure has been created. And this is the part that bugs me whenever I'm doing this. If I go and change anything here, I got to do that again. And I keep forgetting. I go ahead and make the change in the procedure because I need to fix something. And then I forget to do the @Donation. So it runs the old version. And then I say, wait a minute, why didn't that change work? And then I remember that I didn't do @Donation. Okay, so you have to go through and get the procedure to have been created. Okay, so once it's been created, now I am going to look at the code where I'm going to call it. And I've got a very simple code here that I am going to call it with. So I've defined ID number, drive number, contribution date, contribution amount. I am going to be asking the user to enter information in there. And then I'm saying, if the VCont amount is greater than 20, then do the procedure. And do the procedure is written by just writing the procedure name and putting in parentheses the things that I want to send. Okay, so I'm going to go in and highlight this and go in and do an edit call @Donation, which is what I called it, and I've already got it in there. So I just did a call edit donation. And if you just copy this, you can then transfer it in there. And you will have the code there. Okay. And Control X gets me out. So at this point, I now have the procedure and I have the program that's going to call the procedure. And so now I can execute the program that's calling the procedure. So I do @call @Donation. And it says enter the value for the ID number. So I'll put in 12121. And enter the drive number, 300. And enter the date, 21 November 17. And enter the contribution amount, $100. And it now tells me the procedure has been successfully completed. And if I go and now say, select asterisk from new donation, okay, I am now seeing the new record that I just added, okay? Okay, so there's the record that I just added, and it worked. So I can make a procedure, and a procedure can contain any code that I want. What's the reason for making a procedure? Basically, if you have a variety of programs that want to use the code, if you put it in a procedure, then you can call it from a bunch of different routines. So, and also the other reason for it is if you just have something that's fairly complex and you want to put it in a procedure and call that procedure just to keep it separate from your code, that's another reason for doing a procedure. Okay. So I've gone ahead and I've added a record. Did everybody successfully get something added to the table? Yes, no, maybe? That would be this or this. Okay. 10 o'clock, folks, you're supposed to be awake.
I think everyone's ready for turn.
What?
I think everyone's ready for turn.
I've already had one Thanksgiving. We had a Thanksgiving last weekend down in North Carolina with all the family. So it was good. Now we got another one coming, so I get to have turkey twice. Okay. So now let's go on. So, going a little further, we find there are three modes for formal parameters. In, out, or in, out. In sends the parameters from the calling program to the procedure. Out sends the parameters from the procedure back to the calling program. And in, out does both. The default mode is in, since no mode was specified in the example above, the default was in, okay? So I, basically, that was as if I had an in. Okay, so. Now I want to play around with that. And that's why I said I wanted you to go in. So if I go in here, I want you to first, actually I'm using PuTTY. I want you to first create in-out table, and I think I already have it. But you can create it using that sentence. So create the table called in-out table. Okay, go ahead and do it. And I think I have already done it. I know I've already done it. What I don't know is whether I saved it. Yeah, and I've got one thing in it apparently. Okay, so go ahead and create the table, in-out table, with three fields in it. Okay. And then I want to go on and do the procedures and the calling program. So we're going to go in and do those. Okay, what I just asked people to do, we're going to look at how in and out work with this. And I asked them to create this table. So to put the code in to create this table called in-out table. And it's on the handout about a third of the way down. So now I'm going to go in and I'm going to say, edit the process calc is what I call my procedure, or procedure calc. So I called it procedure calc. And if I edit that, there it is. You can copy and paste it too and put it in. So this would be my procedure. And my procedure has three fields in it. P-in, P-out, P-in-out. And I'm going to have you experiment with this a little bit in a minute after we've done the stuff. So copy that one. And then go down and calc, process calc is what I want to use next. So I'm going to go in and say edit calc, process calc, and it comes up with that next routine. So I'm going to go through and put all of these routines. Just a copy and paste.
What are we supposed to add the first one?
Say that again?
What are we supposed to add the first procedure?
Yeah, you're supposed to put in the procedure process calc and then this procedure, and yes, you had to do a at sign, if that's what you were asking.
Yeah.
And I'd already done it, so mine would have been all right, but I'll do it anyway. Okay, so you should do that to get the process procedure created. And even if I didn't make any change at it, it still creates it again. So this just created. So get those in, and then we're going to come down and okay. So the main program is just declaring the three things and then calling process calc and sending them the three things. So it's declaring three things that the user is going to enter. And then we will see how it can do this. Now, I'm just using user entry right now. Obviously, the procedure could also be something that is run when we're using a cursor, and we'll get to that next Tuesday. I think we'll get to that next Tuesday, if not next Thursday. Okay, so I am going to look up above at this, and what I did inside the procedure is I said, okay, take the in and the in and add them together to give me an out, and then take an in out and add the in three times. Okay, and what I'm going to do is play around with these things and see how I can use them. Okay, so I'm going to go in, and the first one that I played with is there, but then we can also play with some other things. So I said, okay, I'm going to run calc, process calc, which is the one that asks for user input. And on the one that I ran, I put in 15, and then I put in 72, and then I put in 99. And it ran that. Now, if I want to see the results, I say select asterisk from in out table. And I put in the same line that I already had. Okay, so if I look at the code on this, okay, there's the code, and here's what I put in. So I put in 15. So 15 got set up in here. And I put in 72, which got sent to there. And I put in 99, which got sent to there. So those are the things that I put in. Then in my calculation, I said, okay, take the in one, which is 15 plus 15, and out is now 30. So I made out now 30. And then I said, in out is going to be the in one three times, so it is now 45. In fact, all I had to send here was the IN number. Okay? Because that's the one that I used. Okay, so that works with that one. Then the next example that I put in, I sent up okay, can I get rid of the ink? Okay, I sent up, so I'm going to run it again. So I'm going to say @calc process calc. And this time I put in 23, 33, 43. And it was successfully completed. And when I look at the results, I've got 23, 46, and 69. So this time I basically had set up 23, 33, and 43. And in my calculation, I said out is going to be in twice, so that becomes 46. And in out is going to be what I sent up the in out, which was 43, plus in, which gets me up to 60. 40, wait a minute. Out, in out. 43 and 23.
46 and 23.
What did I do?
46.
Yeah. But I said in out, which came up as 43, right?
Yeah.
Okay, where did the 69? Why am I not seeing the 69? Okay, we've still got a class going on.
Oh, okay.
Why am I not seeing 69? What am I doing wrong? Oh, I have the 60. The 66 is here. What did I do? Maybe I experimented with it. So the 66 is right, but I've got a 69. That's what was confusing me.
Maybe I changed the code, so let me take a look. Edit. Calc process calc. Wrong one. Process calc, right? Okay, so apparently I didn't change it. All right, so that's why it was wrong. I should have changed this one, and I didn't. So the 69 was right because it was 23, 23, 23. It got me 69.
okay? My problem was I hadn't gone in and changed the code the way I had it matched up there. So I should have changed the code up here and made this say in, out, and then only that, right? So control O, control X, and now I am running this. First though, what do I have to do before I run it? I just changed the procedure. So what do I have to do?
At sign.
At sign. So I have to do that. Or it will run the old version. Okay, so I have to do that. And now I can run the calc process, calc, enter the numbers 23, 33, 43. And now I'm going to look at the table. And I got my 66, okay? So it is now working. Now the one down below illustrates the problem with the in-out. Okay. Actually, I want to take a picture of that. Okay, so play with the one down below. That one has got an error coming up. So the process create that I did on this one is if I go in and edit process calc and I want to change it so that this one says P out equals out. Okay, so that's what I wanted to say now. And I'm going to control O. Okay, and why isn't it letting me do that? I really hate Putty. And now I'm going to run this. So I'm doing first at sign process calc because I need to remember to do that. And then I'm doing at sign, calc process calc. And I put in 57, 45, and 89. And it tells me the procedure and it shouldn't have. Oh, we're having a good time trying to figure this out. Does anybody know what I did wrong? Out should have been flagged. Okay, let me try it again. Is anybody getting out flagged? Are you doing it right? Because I shouldn't be able to use out over here because it is not really an out. Okay, so I shouldn't have been able to do that. Somehow, it let me go with that. So control O, and then enter and exit. And I'm going to take process calc. Okay, it's now giving me an error. Okay. Like multiple times.
Interesting. Okay, missing select keyword. So I've got something wrong in that. What did I do? I've got an O up above create. That would do it. So when I was trying to do the save and saying, why won't this do that? It was instead writing it. So we'll now do Control O, Enter, Control X. Yes, I want to save it, and why didn't it know that already? Procedure created, thank you. Okay, so now we're going to run the whole thing and see if we can get the output. And I'm entering the values, which are 57, 45, and 89. And it still gave me successfully completed. When I was playing with this at home last night, it gave me the same results that I'm seeing on the screen. So I don't know either what I'm doing or whether we're looking at a different version. It shouldn't have let out be in there, but it did. And that is what it is. I will play with this and see why things have changed. Except as I said, when I did it at home, it worked the same way. So either I've got a different version at home, okay, notice, however, that what it did do is it didn't put the out in.
That in itself would throw an error, though, would it? Like, not being placed in that variable?
No, I wouldn't think so. But using the out on this side used to be an error.
Maybe they updated.
And they may have, as I said, when I tried this, because I ran some of these at home last night, and it was giving me that output.
Yeah.
But you may have a more recent version than I do.
Yeah.
And so now, but what it's doing is it's not showing anything there.
Maybe that used to be considered an error.
Right, and now it's just, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting, and I will try playing around with that this weekend in between turkey, and you can as well, and see if you can see what the problem is.
Okay. The error's kind of nice, though, so it tells you it's not going to do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I actually think that was a good plan.
Yeah.
Unless I did something else. And I guess we should go back and look one more time. We got a few seconds. Edit, process, calc. Okay, does it look like into column in, column out, so I didn't change that? I don't see anything else that's different, but it's giving me that result. Okay. I will play with that and we will see what we get out of it. And I did save it. Okay. Don't know what I did wrong. And that worked fine with an in-out. So anyway, if you get a chance, play with this, and I will play with it We're going to look at functions on Tuesday and then continue with procedures and functions. And then the following week, we'll look at triggers and arrays, and then we'll be done. As I said, there is no homework this time, and I don't want to start something else because we got 3 minutes.